this morning. Our lesson this morning is entitled, As the Lord Commanded. As the Lord Commanded. You know, there are a lot of ways to do things in this world. And a lot of people do things a lot of different ways. There are different ways to fix your hair, different cars to buy, different clothes to wear. There are different types of houses to live in, different ways to decorate your house. Different husbands and wives, you know, not all of us like the same thing in a mate. Some look for one thing, some look for exactly the opposite. So, there are a lot of different ways of doing things in this world. But when it comes to religion, even though there may be a lot of different ways to do things in religion, there's only one way, the right way. We want to look at this morning, as the Lord commanded. We're going to look at some things in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible tells us that those things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. The Old Testament teachings, the Old Testament law, all of those events that happened back there, they were written so that we could know more about God, so that we could know more about how to live. We're not under the Old Testament law, but some of the principles and ideas that were taught under that law, God has brought forward into the new law. It's the same God that is over us today that was over the children of Israel back then. There are a lot of people that say, oh, it doesn't matter as long as you love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're going to look back to the Old Testament today, and we're going to look at some of the people in the Old Testament who learned, some of them the hard way, and some of them just knew from the start that they needed to be in God's way. Look to Noah, first of all. The last verse of chapter 6, actually, after God had told Noah how to build the ark, and Noah got to work on it, verse 22 of chapter 6 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What do you suppose would have happened if Noah had decided instead of gopher wood to use oak or pine? What if he had made boats 30 feet long instead of 450 feet long it's supposed to be? What if Noah had changed things after God told him how to do it? Would the boat have floated? I don't think so. God gave very specific instructions to Noah. I want us to notice, though, that there were some things that Noah had the decision on. What tools did he use? Did he use an axe or a saw? Well, God didn't tell him which to use. He could have used either one, or he could have used both. See, there's some things God doesn't tell us today how to do. We sing one song before we preach. We have the Lord's Supper first. Or last, or in the middle somewhere. There are some things that God lets us make the decision on, as long as we do it right. There are other things, though, that he's very specific about, just as he was with Noah. He told Noah, make the ark out of gopher wood. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, take this bread, take this cup. He was very specific. We don't have a right to change that, just like Noah didn't have a right to change what to make the ark out of. Well, in chapter 7, in verse 16, Noah takes the animals into the ark. It says they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Male and female of all flesh. That's what God had told Noah, two of each kind, a male and a female. And he also told him of the clean animals, he was supposed to take seven pairs, seven males, seven females. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? take two male zebras and no females. If he had, we wouldn't have any zebras today. We don't have any as yet. He didn't decide to take 150,000 mosquito pairs. Sometimes it seems like maybe he did, but well, he only got what he was supposed to. See, he didn't have the choice. He didn't have the leeway. He couldn't change what God said. He had to do it as the Lord meant. Look at some other examples in Exodus chapter 7. Moses and Aaron, after God has told them to go and to speak to Pharaoh, chapter 7 and verse 6, book of Exodus, says, "And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they." You know of another prophet that was supposed to take a message that didn't go and do as the Lord commanded him? His name Jonah, ring a bell? What happened to him? Well, he got eaten by a moving fish. A great sea monster, literally, is what the word is. God prepared a sea monster to eat him. Now, we have a choice today, too. Take the message as God commanded, or refuse and try to run away like Jonah did. Just do what we want to do. The choice is ours, but there's only one right choice to make. And the consequences of making the wrong choice could be disastrous for our eternity. Because God hasn't prepared a great fish to swallow up those who are disobedient to His will today. He's prepared a place called hell to swallow up those who are disobedient. We don't want to have any part of that. We need to do as the Lord commanded. Just like Moses and Aaron did. They went to, even though they knew Pharaoh, he could have killed them on the spot for coming to and saying those things to him. They went and did it anyway. Then we see after they had done that, after Pharaoh finally, after the plagues, relented and decided to let the children of Israel go, in chapter 12, it says, "The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they." And they did a lot of things. As we read through the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, there were a lot of things that God commanded Moses. And all of them, they had to do just as the Lord commanded. Look at a couple of these things. Exodus 39 and verse 1 says, "And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses." Notice what it says there. Blue and purple and scarlet. Well, what if they liked yellow better? What if Aaron would have rather had green? Well, that just wasn't a choice. Because they did it in these three colors as the Lord commanded Moses. And on through not only the clothing, but the temple. Chapter 40 tells us about them building the temple. It says in verse 21, they brought the ark into the temple. Now that's not the ark that Noah built a while ago. This is the Ark of the Covenant. I don't think they could have brought Noah's ark into the temple. I don't think it would have fit. It would have been way too big. But they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle, and they set up the veil of the covering and covered the Ark of the Testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. So they're building the tabernacle, a place to worship God. And they built it just like God commanded them. And if you read through chapter 40, there are at least six or seven times in that chapter that it points out that the thing that they did was done as the Lord commanded Moses. Now what about today? Our building looks a lot different than the one in Linden or the one in Meridian. It's a lot different. But we need to remember that the temple of God today are Christian individuals that make up the church. We are the living stone. And God has very specific instructions on how to build His church. he had very specific instructions to them how to build the tabernacle. He doesn't mean specific instructions on how to make the structure that we need in, but there are very specific commands involved in building the church. The first is, Jesus said, on this rock, after Peter had made the confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. So it had the right foundation. And it started from there. And then he gave other commandments. He gave commandments as to how to build the door to get in. There's only one door to get into the church. You know that? In our building, we've got four or five different doors. But there's only one door in the church. The Bible tells us that the only way to get into Christ is baptism. We're baptized. The only way in. Only one door. Can't go by prayer. Can't go by religious experience. There's only one door that gets you into the church. Because God built the church. And if we want to be part of that church, then we've got to do it as the Lord commanded. We've got to build the church as the Lord commanded. We've got to build it on the foundation that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There are a lot of churches, believe it or not, there are a lot of churches full of people who don't believe that Jesus was really the Son of God. Now, they may be churches, but they're not church as God commanded it to be. There are even churches that worship Satan. They're not churches God commanded it to be. We've got to do it as God commanded it. Get it right. Just as they did in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle. They had to build the tabernacle just as the Lord commanded Moses. Several times. Chapter 40, verse 19, verse 21, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29, and verse 32. It repeats at the end of each of those verses. As the Lord commanded Moses. They had to do it just the way God commanded. Then all through Leviticus, more and more things. Chapter 8, several times again, that there were certain things about the way that they worshipped. Not only the place itself, but the way they worshipped. They tell how to make their sacrifice. Verse 17, for example. But the bull and his hide, his flesh, and his dung, he burnt with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. They had certain parts of the cow that they cut off and burned on the altar, and the other parts of it, as you can read there, they took outside the camp and burned them up with a fire that was a different fire. It wasn't the worship to God. And it's a little bit different. And there are several other things in this same passage, verse 4, verse 9, verse 13, 17, 21, 29, 30, all of these things that they had to do. Same way with us today. We can't just worship any old way we choose. We talked last Sunday about the importance of singing as the Lord commanded. The Lord commanded us to sing, so we sang this morning. Now, we sang two different songs. We'll sing a couple more before we get finished. They're not the same song. We have a choice as to what song we sing. As long as it falls within that guideline of being either, as the Bible says, a song, a hymn, or a spiritual song. We're not going to come up in here and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. We're not going to come up here and sing a rock song. We've been given specific instructions, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what we're going to sing when we're together. We're not going to do more than sing. We're not going to play instruments. We're not going to clap and stomp and do all those kinds of things. That's not singing. That's what we're supposed to sing. So, in the same way that the Old Testament had certain things, they had to do. children of Israel, that they should bring forth him that had cursed out the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They had laws. They had punishment for those who broke those laws. And they had to do it as the Lord commanded. Now, see, this fellow cursed. And he was stoned. They got a bunch of rocks through him, so they killed him. Aren't a lot of us glad that that's not the punishment for us today? A lot of us wouldn't be here, would we? Today, we can be forgiven of those things, you know. But still, when we sin, there are consequences. There's punishment that has to take place. I mentioned just a while ago this morning that a particular brother is in sin. And he has till next week to repent, or else we're going to withdraw fellowship. Now, that may seem a little harsh. It may seem cruel, mean, heartless, whatever you want to, word you want to use. But that's as the Lord commanded it. He tells us that when someone is in error and refuses to repent of that sin, that we have to separate ourselves from them. Just like they had to do. Now, we don't have to go as far as they do. We don't have to take him outside the camp and stone him with stones, though. Because our goal is to bring him back into the fold, not to kill him. We don't want to do that. But that was the way it was under the Old Testament. That's what they had to do. But there are laws. There are commandments that when they are broken, have to be disciplined. We had a whole series about a year ago on church discipline and the way that that works. It's so very important. Just as it's important for us to be self-disciplined. It's important for us to discipline our children. Well, it's important for God to discipline His children. And the only way He has of doing that is through us. In Numbers, God commanded Moses to count all the people. Now, He hasn't given us that commandment today. We do count. We keep a record of how many come. But that's not a commandment for us today. But that was a commandment for Moses. And he had to do that. He had to count all of them. There are so many more things. We get down to Deuteronomy. There are several more passages and numbers that we could look at. Look them up sometime. We've got a concordance in the library. But look those up, some of those things that God commanded them, and they did it just like the Lord commanded. Deuteronomy, though, the verse that we read for the scripture reading this morning, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. The same holds true today. If we want to be righteous, if we want to have the good that God promised to us, if we want Him to preserve us alive, not only alive in this life, but spiritually alive in the second after the second coming, in judgment, in eternity, if we want Him to keep us alive, we have to do as He's commanded us. Notice what He says. If we observe to do, what's that next word? It's not a few, it's not some, it's not even most, it's not even nearly all. Next word is all. That means we can't leave one out. We can't say, well, you know, I don't particularly like this commandment, so I'm not going to do that. We don't have that choice. We have to do all. Jesus said the same thing when He sent His apostles out, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus' declaration. All things that He has commanded. We're supposed to teach those things and then Joshua, I want us to notice two verses. There are a lot more verses than this, but these two I want us to notice for a particular reason. First of all, Joshua chapter 10 and verse 40. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the spring, and all their kings. He left none alive. Left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Now notice who commanded there. The Lord God of Israel had commanded. That's God. That's the same God we serve. He had commanded him to do that. Notice Joshua chapter 11 and verse 12. And the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them. Doesn't that sound familiar? That sounds just like what they said in the verse we just read. Back in chapter 10 and verse 4. But utterly destroyed all. Here he says again, he utterly destroyed them. And notice what he says at the end of this verse. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Now wait a minute. Who gave the commandment to kill all of the Canaanites, to destroy them utterly from the land? Chapter 10 says God commanded. Chapter 11 says Moses commanded it. Well, let's look at verse 15. And I think it will clear things up for us. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. I don't have any authority to make commands for you religiously or any other way for that matter. You don't have any authority to make demands or commands on me religiously or anywhere else. Unless that authority comes from God. When I tell you what God said, it's not my authority. I may be making the command, as I have today, spoken some of these things. I may make that command, but it's not my command. That's where people make the mistake so much in this world. Every time somebody is told that they're living in sin, what's the first thing they say? Judge not that you be not judged. They forget something. If I tell you about a sin that you're involved in, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what God says. Now, if on the other hand, I condemn you for driving the wrong color car, I've stepped out of my bounds. I've judged you on something that God didn't say anything about. If I judge you because, maybe I judge Alice because she's wearing a hat. Nobody else is today. Or maybe I judge all the rest of you because you're not wearing hats like Alice is today. See, I've overstepped my bounds. But as far as the Lord commands us, we have the authority to command someone else. When Paul went to preach to Cornelius, we'll close with this. When Paul went to preach to Cornelius, after he had preached a while, God showed through the Holy Spirit a sign to Peter. Peter went to preach to Cornelius. God showed a sign through the Holy Spirit that Cornelius was acceptable and was right to become one of his faithful children, to become a Christian. But I want us to notice, we turn to Acts chapter 10. Verse 48 of chapter 10, the last verse. Peter, after he had seen this, and then he asked the question, you know, did these people receive the Holy Spirit like we did? should we baptize them? What should we do? You know, can anybody say we should? But then, in verse 48, here's what he says. And he commanded them to be baptized. Now, what authority does Peter have to command somebody to be baptized? Peter's just a man, just like you and me. How did he have the authority to command them to be baptized? Well, he had that authority because God gave him that authority. God told him to go out and teach and make disciples and baptize them. So he had the right to demand of them that they obey what God had said. There are a lot of people in the religious world who say, well, you say this, but I say this. You know, you say we can only sing, but it's okay. I think it's okay to use instruments. Or you say you should have the Lord's Supper every week, but we only have it once a month, and I think that's fine. The question is not whether I think or what you say. The question is, what does God say about it? When God commands us in regard to a particular issue, we don't have any other choice. We do what He said. And we have the authority to tell others to do what He said. I don't have any authority to demand of you that you use these gold-colored communion serving trays rather than silver ones. But I do have the right to tell you and demand and order that we use the right emblems, the bread, the unleavened bread, and the food. Why do I have that authority? It's not because I'm anything special. Each and every one of you has the same authority to demand that when we do the Lord's Supper, we do it like God wants it. That's the problem in the religious world. God has been brought down from being the supreme authority to being one voice among many. And what God wants, His vote doesn't count any more than my vote or your vote in most religious circles. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Because I guarantee you, on the day of judgment, we're not going to get to vote on whether we get into heaven or not. God's going to make the decision. You better be less concerned about what I think or what you think in regards to religion and get a lot more concerned about what God says in regards to religion. There are a lot more passages that we can look at. There are over 100 passages that talk about as the Lord commands just in the Old Testament. We don't have time to look at all of them. We'll stop with that, but let's just think about it. Today, for the rest of our lives, doing things as God commanded in the church, in our worship, in our daily lives, in our discipline, in every area of our life, in our teaching as well. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience to God's command, be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, or if as a Christian you haven't been faithfully doing all that He's commanded, then you too may need to respond as we stand and as we